ask the Lord to be pleased to help me to call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, and the 10th verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Chapter 50, the book of Isaiah, and the 10th verse. I would like to feel that this word, which is especially laid on my mind, might be a word in season to some poor sinner in this assembly, desiring to worship God aright. And yet it may be, when you weigh matters up between your soul and God, you hardly know what you are or where you are in things divine, because there seems to be so much obscurity in your soul's experience. Things that you cannot understand the why and wherefore thereof, and yet you were found amongst the people of God and desire to be numbered with them, living and dying. But you cannot see your signs. The church of old said that in the psalmist day. We cannot see our signs. The great thing is to have some signs which have been seen, because the day will dawn when the light will shine and those signs will be seen again. The Saviour said, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice." And whatever God has done for your never-dying soul, be it little or much, he will make it plain as you journey on through life. And the good work begun will be carried on, but it may be that you will sometimes be like the character in our text. You will walk in darkness and have no light. No bright shining in your soul to help you to feel as you want to feel. And now I want us, the Lord, to help me to work out that line of thought and look at the subject from three or four viewpoint of it. And the opening question is very important. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Oh, this is the character that Isaiah is referring to. And he was inspired by the Spirit of God to encourage such an one. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And now, dear friends, what are you going to say about it? What answer are you going to render before God this Sabbath morn? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Oh, I do hope quite a few of you do fear the Lord. But maybe you are not always as sure that you are the character referred to as you would like to be. I have sometimes thought about Jonah when the question was put to him and he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord and behaving in a very unbecoming way for the prophet, and yet When he was put to the crucial test by the mariners, what did Jonah say? I fear the Lord. And yet he was not behaving at that time according to the dictates of godly fear. But he makes a very bold confession. I fear the Lord. And now there was another character, and it may be you would rather stand alongside him this Sabbath morn than stand where Jonah stood. And now, good Nehemiah, when he was addressing the majesty of heaven, what did he say? Let thine ears be attent unto the prayer of thy servant who desire to fear thy name. You will stand alongside Nehemiah, many of you, because in your heart there is that deep down desire. Who desire to fear thy name? And yet, you cannot always, out of the abundance of the heart, for the mouth to speak about it. But there it is, the reality of it. And those feeble desires and wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. And some of you who think on the name of Jesus within, and are like Mary, and she pondered all these things in her heart, you might not be prepared to say much as to what you do think and put it into words for other people to hear. But the truth of the matter is that you do look on these people in the text, such as do indeed fear the Lord, and their company is very attractive to you. And you have said before God, if not before man, with them numbered I would be now and in eternity. Remember our hymn writer, oh, cry we to heaven with one loud accord, that to us be given the fear of the Lord. And now you have sung that sometimes. Did you say amen when you sang it? And remember, if you did, there is one of those signs that will be seen, that you are the character in our text. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You cannot have a surer evidence than that love shed abroad in your heart, causing you to feel the unity of the Spirit. He that loveth is born of God. Love is the golden chain that binds the favored souls above, and is the hair of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love. And you know your life as you live it. And you know what life you desire to live. And many of you know that you desire to live the life of the righteous. And that what you do, what you say, and where you go should be dictated by godly fear as an unctuous light to what is right and a bar to what is wrong. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? I might just say that there are three special characteristics of godly fear. One is that it is solemnizing, and when it is active in our souls, it brings the things of God to be first and foremost in our lives, and the concern of our never-dying soul and the welfare of it is uppermost. And you have a feeling like this: Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish much. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust. There is a wonderfully solemnizing influence in the fear of the Lord when it is active. And you have this consciousness that you are a poor sinner with a never-dying soul, journeying to an eternal destiny. And there is only one step betwixt you and eternity. And that step hinges on the next breath that you draw. And if you do not draw one after that, time is no more with you, and you have entered into an eternal state, either lost or saved. Only this frail and fleeting breath preserves me from the jaws of death. Soon as it fails, at once I'm gone and plunged into a world unknown. And now this blessed principle solemnizes our minds and keeps that great truth before our mind's eyes. And it helps you to say, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Not only so, this blessed principle is a separating principle. And that means there are many things in the world at large that you can have nothing whatever to do with, because you are no longer desiring to live after the flesh as you were born, but you want to be after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And your feeling is, I cannot here contented live with all the dainties earth can give. Whatever the world can offer you, you have this feeling when you consider it, when godly fear is active. And that is, let others after earth aspire, Christ is the treasure I desire. And you choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It is a great feeling to have it, to look round the world with all its emoluments and many things that worldlings are pleased with and prize, and you can put your foot on all the earth called good or great, and feel, let others stretch their arms like seas, and grasping all the shore, grant me the visits of thy faith, and I desire no more. A separating principle. Yes. And then, it is also a sanctifying principle, which means that when this fear of the Lord is uppermost in our thoughts, your great concern is to live unto God. Show whose you are, whom you serve, in all that you attend to in everyday life. You want to go forward therein with this attitude toward it: in the beginning God. If you cannot ask the blessing of God on it, you want to let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? And now, Isaiah gives another characteristic of this character in the text. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? And now, the voice of his servant, I must not take too much time in going into details about it, but just simply tell you that the servant referred to is Jesus Christ, and he is referred to by Isaiah in an earlier chapter, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." What is the voice of his servant? The gospel of Christ. When the gospel is preached to right, it is just a setting forth of what you sometimes sing about it. That will help you to understand it. What Christ has said must be fulfilled on this firm rock believers build. His word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. It is the gospel of Christ that is the voice of his servant referred to by Isaiah. And that brings us to this point in gospel times in which you and I are living. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Here you see, as I view it, a character whom others look on and see a consistent life being lived, one who is regular in the worship of God, always found in the usual seat, and not only so, one who has gone through the baptismal waters, it may be, and has a name on a church roll. And yet such a character, in living his life, at times walks in darkness and has no light, and can only say, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." I would look at that viewpoint of the subject. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And now, there are some viewpoints of walking in darkness which I would like to touch on, because in my long ministerial life I've known many people taught of God who have been much in the dark and brought to it extremities in their soul's experience and almost to self-despair. And yet in the end, the Lord brought them forth into the light and they died well, and their redeemed spirits are around the throne of God in the rest that remaineth for the people of God. And it might be, which is much more to the point, some of you are walking in darkness regarding some special matter. It may be you are not very clear yet in your soul feelings as to whether you have a work of grace begun within or no. You walk in darkness regarding whether the good work is begun, because you have nothing very clear-cut or definite. And that may be the case with many people taught of God. And glad such people are to remember The soul that with sincere desire seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. You look back over life's journey, and you may be no longer in life's morning or even its afternoon, but you're coming into its evening time. And as yet, you have not got the sure evidence and in heaven's own light to see that there is within you that religion that God is the author of, which alone would do to live by and die by. And yet you're in, you're out. You humbly hope you've been following on to know the Lord. And now, this is the word of the Lord to you. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Not to settle down and become, as it were, hopeless because you are helpless. Helpless you are, but not hopeless when the matter is viewed aright. Some small glimmering light I have, yet too dark to see my way. Jesus' presence still I crave, when, oh, when will it be done? And now the word of God declares, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And I would say to you who are asking the way to Zion, and as yet much in the dark as to whether you are in it and a real pilgrim to Canaan bound, I would say to you, a time is set to heal up your woes, a season most fit is love to disclose. Until he is ready to accomplish his will, be patient and steady, and wait on him still. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And his God has said, and it will not fail in being fulfilled, blessed are all they that wait for him. And now you do hope the good work is begun, many of you. You have got evidences that you have treasured up, although sometimes you walk in darkness regarding them and you cannot see them standing out as you would like to do. But you have realized in your soul's experience encouragement in God. But still, you walk in darkness regarding a clear-cut interest in what was done on Calvary's cross being done for you. Oh, it is a wonderful mercy when a poor sinner can be found at Calvary's cross and gaze by living faith on him who died thereon, and then be able to declare for me, O miracle of grace, for me the Saviour bled. You say, I wish I could make such a confession of faith, but as yet that mercy has not been revealed to me, to my soul's joy. What are you to do regarding it? Oh, you will not give up hope that because as yet you cannot see that Jesus died for you, that you must believe that he did not die for you. No, no. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And remember what you sing sometimes. The time of love will come when each shall clearly see not only that Christ shed his blood, but each shall say for me. You will come forth into the light of him who is the light of the world, and feel my Lord, my God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? You may sometimes be walking in darkness regarding your soul's exercises. There may be some matter that you have spread before the Lord, and it may be to do with you or those near and dear to you, and you have waited on God regarding it, but as yet you've got no special light on it. The thing is still in obscurity as to how it will be worked out for you or yours. It may be often people who do indeed live the life of the righteous and evidence this blessed principle, godly fear, walk in darkness regarding the outcome of their soul's exercises in this matter and that. But the great thing to remember is the lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And he has got a set time to favour you regarding the matter you have laid before the throne of grace. And meanwhile, you are being put to the test in waiting. And it may be concerning this matter, what is to be read in the book of Daniel is a word for you. The thing appointed is true, but the time is long. And you need grace to be still. And remember in the word of God how often it is to be seen, how very, very long those who did indeed fear God had to wait to see his purposes wrought, which had been made known to them as what God purposed to do. Many instances you will search out in the sacred pages. It is for you to still wait on God. Remember the word unto thy servant, on which thou hast caused me to hope. And that word will not fail in the fulfillment of it. There is a set time to favour Zion. And poor sinners who do fear God are often hard put to it in waiting till that set time shall arrive. You may be in darkness because there are some things in your life, in the dealings of God with you, that are hard to be understood. There may have come events into your life which have made a revolution in life's journey for you, so that your early plans that you hung up in your mind as pleasant pictures, God has fulfilled his word regarding these. I will mar all pleasant pictures. And some affliction has been laid on you, or some event has come into your life and blasted your gourd and overturned your design. And now you're in obscurity as to what the will of the Lord is for you as the future unfolds. What are you to do? The word of God still tells you, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And remember what Ambrose Searle says, "My favored soul shall meekly learn to lay her reason at thy throne. Too weak thy secrets to discern, I'll trust thee for my guide alone." And remember, regarding the future unfolding, you and I must learn to live a day at a time. The Saviour said, "Take no thought for the morrow." It means in the original, "Take no anxious thought." When tomorrow dawns, you will find he whom you are following and desire to love and serve is indeed Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I remember seeing a poker work motto hung up: "Today is the tomorrow that you feared yesterday, and all is well." And you must admit that is the truth of the matter. "Thy love in times past forbids me to think thou wilt leave me at last in trouble to sing. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms thy good pleasure to carry me right through." And regarding the future, think again of the character referred to in our text. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" And now, if you and I are among these, the word of God says it shall be well with them that fear God. Whatever the future unfolds and the purposes of God reveal in the world, ere time shall cease to be, the men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. God has guaranteed it. It shall be well with them that fear God. Much might be said along that line of thought. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" You might be walking in darkness because you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And a very solemn experience it is, if the word of God should go forth concerning you or me, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat." All that solemn sifting, and the calling into question there is of all to do with our religion and what we hope is our soul's experience. When you have to analyze it, weigh it up, whether it is indeed that which is of God or no, and when you are brought into such darkness that you cannot see your signs, zeal extinguished to a spark, life is very low, all our evidence is dark and good works, we've none to show. Oh, that is a very painful pathway to tread, but it is only trodden by people going to heaven. Do remember that. It is not against you if Satan harasses you, calls into question what you humbly hope God has done for you, what you believe is your little bit of religion that he is the author of. For if you were just one with a name to live, but dead, he would leave you entirely alone. The word of God says, "If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." There are lessons you and I have to learn at such times. And One outcome of it is that you are thankful in the outcome that you have got some religion which the devil does not leave alone. But I must look at the subject from another viewpoint. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? I look just at this darkness, because such a character as the text refers to, one who does indeed fear the Lord, may be walking in darkness, and according to his conscience, he does not know the why and wherefore of it. He has no light on it. And it was that which made Job to feel as he did regarding the dealings of God with him. He did not know, but God had declared, "My servant Job is a perfect man, perfect in Jesus Christ, one that feareth me and escheweth evil." Yet, when God allowed Satan to put Job to the test as to his religion, being of God, dear Job came into darkness, and he could not understand the why and the wherefore of it. And he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I go backward, I cannot behold him. I go forward, I cannot see him. On the left hand, on the right hand, I cannot discern God with whom I have to do." And he was so much walking in darkness that he said, "As for my hope, who shall see it? My hope was he removed like a tree." And yet he was the character in the text, and he was helped by God with grace given to do that which was right at such a time. "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." He could not sort it out with his friends arguing against him as to the why and wherefore of it, but he wanted to get in touch with God, and so do you. Yes. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And I want you to remember that sometimes people taught of God, and they may be people who have been at times deeply exercised concerning the things of God, and they may be people who are deeply taught of God, and they may walk in darkness and have no light as to the why and wherefore of it, as I said. And I try to ponder this viewpoint of the truth, and it might help you if I show you that sometimes when people thought of God find at length they walk in darkness and hardly know what they are or where they are, they have only got to let their consciences tell them, and their consciences will tell them the why and the wherefore of it. The answer will be, if you walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. And if those that do indeed fear the Lord should be left to what they are by nature and fall a prey to it, maybe give too much attention to the things of this life, and time things take precedence of things eternal, then the inevitable outcome will be that they will find darkness coming into their soul's experience, and they will become cold and formal in their profession of the name of Jesus. And good it will be when at length the Lord deals with them to bring them back into the light, which he may do by some very solemn affliction. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And now, here is a viewpoint of walking in darkness when you were brought, and remember, this is an unusual experience, but sometimes people taught of God do know it. And that is, it is possible to be walking in darkness through the sovereignty of God in his dealings with you, as he brings you to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ therein. When you feel in your soul's experience, it is a tremendous feeling that you are deserted by God. Then to remember, Jesus said on Calvary's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? As verily man. Because it is decreed that most must pass their darkest paths alone, and Jesus Christ had to drink that cup down to the very bottom and drink the dregs. And such was the heinousness of sin when that word was fulfilled. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that Jesus Christ had to realize the hiding of his Father's face. And very painful it was to him as verily man. And there is a scripture which says, it is enough for thee, disciple, that he be as his Lord. And therefore, there is a darkness known in our soul's experience, which actually is to bring us to, as it were, taste the cup that Jesus drank in the fullness of it. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And now, let him trust in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And you will find, if this experience should be yours, that you are just shut up to God. Vain is the help of man. Then are they brought to their wits' end. Margin reading, all their wisdom is swallowed up. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. And regarding this beautiful injunction, let him trust in the name of the Lord. I'll try to make this plain to you sometimes, and I want to remind you of it. Whatever your experience may be, whether it be to walk in darkness or regarding some of the things I have named, as to a work of grace being begun, or your interest in Calvary's cross, or regarding answers to prayer, or afflictions laid on you, and the way you go being hard to be understood, there is a name of the Lord whereby you can appeal to the majesty of heaven regarding what your experience is, whatever its nature. If you walk in darkness and have no light, think of his name as the Son of Righteousness. And think of what the Savior said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yes. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. He who is the Son of Righteousness. He who is the light of the world. Or as you sang in the hymn before the sermon began, let him trust in the name of the Lord as the friend who loveth at all times, whom though we cannot comprehend, knowing thou art the sinner's friend, we love thee and adore. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. And that means what he is. The name of the Lord denotes what he is and who he is. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And think of what there is in God for poor sinners in their varied cases and circumstances to stay upon. Think of his omnipotence. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to deliver. Think too how he delighteth in mercy. And remember Jesus' blood through earth and sky, mercy eternal, mercy Christ. Stay upon his God. It means to stay upon him who is Almighty God. Not just Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, but Almighty God who sighed human breath. The Lord of life who experienced death. How it was done, we can't discuss, but this we know, 'twas done for us. And he is in heaven on our behalf. And the word of his grace is, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. But I must come to the amen. Let him, let her, trust in the name of the Lord. And trust in his faithfulness. When you have found him, you really must tell the truth as to how God has dealt with you. And you have found him, the ever faithful God. And there is his faithfulness for you to trust in him still. He hath delivered, he doth deliver. And we trust he will yet deliver us. Let every drooping saint keep waiting evermore, and though exceeding faint, still knock at mercy's door. Cry out and shout till night is past, for daylight will spring up at last. Amen.